Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Shown before the hills in order stood, all earth received her frame. Thou art God, same ages are like an short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shout for joy to God, all the earth, alleluia. Sing the glory of his name, give him glorious praise, alleluia. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to thee. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Shout for joy to God, all the earth, alleluia. Sing the glory of his name and give him glorious praise. Alleluia. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Holy Ghost, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you show those in error the light of your truth, so that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church, that they may avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is written in the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 25th verse. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, is not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. The epistle lesson is written in the second chapter of Peter's first epistle, beginning at the 11th verse. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil against you, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day of the visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject unto your masters with all respect, not only to do good in Gentile, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Alleluia. He sent redemption of his people. Alleluia. What is not necessary, Christ should suffer these things to enter into his glory. Alleluia. from the dead, that to life we may awaken. Jesus, you are now our head. We are your own living members, where you live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today is Jubilate Sunday, means to be jubilant. And yet it doesn't seem like today's gospel lesson is very jubilant. It doesn't really seem to fit in with the narrative of being the fourth Sunday of Easter, does it? You know, you're going to have sorrow, and you know, you're not going to see me, and then you'll see me, and they don't know what it means. It just doesn't really fit in with it, does it? And that's what it's like to be a Christian. Being a Christian in this life, in this world, a lot of times, it's hard to understand how it fits, right? Isn't it? I mean, think of Soro. She was cooking chickpea patties for her two sons, ages 5 and 7, when the secret police broke down her door without knocking. And they yelled at her to cover yourself, woman. And the agents, dressed in solid black with surgical masks obscuring their faces, walked purposely across her Persian rug in violation of Iranian custom. Mommy, mommy, what do they want? Asked the frightened boys. The police then grabbed everyone and forced them to sit in a semicircle on the floor of the several apartments that Soro and her family occupied while they ransacked the place. In God's providence, the couple had moved their supply of Christian Bibles to another believer's home 2 weeks earlier, so there really wasn't much for the secret police to find. Ali, her husband, and Soro were then bound, blindfolded, and driven to the city's interrogation unit, the same place decades before the American hostages from her embassy were taken. She woke up the next morning, slumped against a wall. It was hard to pray, she said. I think I was still in shock. She found it easier to connect with singing. At first, she sang quietly hymns to Christ. But then she began to sing louder and louder. If they're going to listen to me, I'm going to sing about God, about Jesus, who I know, who is love. He is the God I know. He is faithful. He is good. After 2 weeks in prison, she was released and got back to her sons. 2 months later, her husband Ali was released. They were charged with disrupting national security in Iran, a common charge against anyone who organizes Christian gatherings. And they were also charged with apostasy from Islam, which in most of the 26 Muslim countries is a death penalty offense, by the way. They no longer live in Iran. They live in a secret location close to Iran because they're still active in supporting the Christians in that country that live under persecution. Most assuredly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. You now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. That's what Jesus says in today's gospel lesson, right? Sorrow that will be turned to joy. And Soro and Ali understand this now. Their sorrow at being arrested, persecuted, has been turned into joy while following Christ because they have the certainty of everlasting life. You know, we love to sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, don't we? It's the Lutheran hymn. TLH 262, or whatever the equivalent is in the LSB and LW, but it's our hymn. The other Christians, even the Catholics, sing it, but but it's ours. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. And there's always that fourth verse, that final verse, right? That's the one you're supposed to stand up on. Right? The word, they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And they take our life, our goods, our fame, our child, our wife. Let these all be gone. They still have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. And we sing those songs. We sing that hymn, don't we? We sing that verse. We stand up for it. And yet, when we do so, do any of us consider that we may have to pay that price? That they may take our life, our goods, our fame, our child, or our wife? There is a cost to discipleship. Salvation is by grace through faith and not of works. It's the free gift of God, right? But it wasn't free for Jesus, was it? It cost him everything. And as Christians, we wonder if there's a cost for us. And there is. That we have to pick up our cross and follow him. And so in this life, Jesus says, you will have sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. And that's what St. John Chrysostom, I think, is getting at when he preached this sermon text almost 2,000 years ago. Yes, this church father from Syria, he says, and I quote, let us not be saddened then by any trial at all. Indeed, suppose you were from an illustrious native land, descended from renowned ancestors, and came to some far distant country where no one knew who you were. You brought no wealth and no servants with you. And in this case, if someone insulted you, you would not be troubled. You would not suffer it if you were home. For the clear knowledge is that you are in a strange and foreign land would persuade you to bear everything patiently, not only being despised, but also hunger and thirst and any other suffering whatsoever. And that's how we are to be. Because St. John goes on to say, we are citizens of heaven, enrolled in our native land on high, fellow choristers with the cherubim. Think about that. I love how he says that. We are fellow choristers with the cherubim. I mean, we're in the same choir they're in. Isn't that amazing? With cherubim. Well then, he says, let us not be sad. Let us have no regard for insults. As insults. Fair enough. What a great and positive perspective St. John Chrysostom has. A man who suffered great persecution, by the way, and exile and humiliation at the hands of Christians. Therefore, instead of having anger at our persecutors, Jesus would lead us to not see their insults as insults, but rather see them as a pathway which leads, for us at least, to eternal joy. Right? Right? For this earthly life only lasts a little while. That's why I like the TLH, how the Lutheran hymnal articulates the creed when it says, the quick and the dead. I like that word quick better than the living and the dead, because because God is not a God of the dead, he's a God of the living, and those who die in the Lord do not die. So really, I think the quick is better, because it sort of emphasizes the fact that we on this earth right now are just here temporarily, and that's really not a long time. And so all the pain and sorrows of this life, while real, and I don't want to minimize those, because when you're in the middle of them, they are real, and they are terrible. And Jesus compares them, though, to what? To childbirth. A woman about to give birth has sorrow, he says. And this pain that you women experience when you give birth to children is real and it's extreme. It's terrible from what you've told me. And yet God says that once the son has been born or the child has been born, those sorrows, those anguishes are forgotten. Right? See, the saints in heaven have that perspective, the perspective of the forgotten sorrow. There's some erroneously think that the saints in heaven are not aware of the saints on earth. Well, no, they are. They are very much aware. If you read the sixth chapter of Revelation, you'll see that they're very much aware of what's going on the earth. And they see it. But their perspective is different from ours. Because they're not in the pain anymore. They finished their race. Right? No, they're in joy. They are now possessors of the kara in the Greek. And what's neat about this word kara for joy in the Greek is that its root is the same word as charis, grace. And the cognate from which it derives, kairo, means literally in the secular Greek, ancient Greek, it means a phenomena of a direct feeling or better self-perception as self-being, and can be manifested emotionally in the tears of joy. In other words, what kairo is how you view yourself when you honestly look at yourself and try to perceive the truth of yourself. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we don't like talking about our own sins, because we receive a negative self-perception, which is true. But that's only part of it to the Christian, isn't it? Because we who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who have been born again of water and the Spirit, our self-reflection is happy because we see Christ in us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, right? And that's why the Hebrews looked at this issue a little differently. It wasn't so much what was going on inside of you that's important to the Hebrew. While joy is inward, that is true. But that joy finds a common expression among others who share that same perception you do. It's the way the Hebrews looked at it. Therefore, we read again and again and again, especially in the Hebrew Bible, that we are to rejoice and be glad, right? That's why Psalm 5:11 tells us that all who trust in you, talking about God, let them shout for joy. Just like Sorrow, she was in prison and she was singing for joy despite her captivity, right? Sing for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him with a shield. And then in Psalm 9, too, we read how God says, the psalmist says, I will be glad and rejoice in you, talking about God. I will sing your name, O Most High. Why? Because our reason for joy isn't anchored within ourselves. It is anchored within God's specific acts of salvation on our behalf. Yes. Thus our hearts shall rejoice in his holy name. Let your mercy be upon us, as our trust is in you, Psalm 33:21-22. So what God does, what he does for us, is the reason for our inner intention of joy, which culminates in the exterior worship of the church. That's the reason why when Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he said, do not absent yourself from the, you know, as some have. You know, talking about the church's worship. Right? That's why the psalmist sings in Psalm 14, verse 7, he says, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. That word for joy, rejoicing, is again joy. Yes, in this gladness or joy is the joy that Christ brings to us. And he does it concretely. He does it through his word and through his sacraments. It's so great he does that, isn't it? That we can know that we've received God's joy, that we know we possess it. We know we've received a gift. Yes, it is through his words of eternal life that we know that he who believes upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is through his word, right, that we know that we have been born again through water and the Spirit, and that it is given man once to die, and that the judgment, and then the judgment. And we know that for me to live is Christ and die is gain, and therefore Therefore, I know that when I die, that I will have the joy of seeing the fullness of the kingdom of God, which I am already born into, and that I will understand the fullness of the kara of God, along with the other gifts of love and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Therefore, every time we come to Christ, right, we come to His altar, this truth is given to us concretely. We literally hear it with our ears, and we see it and touch it and feast upon it. And as we see and taste and touch the Lord's sacrament of His altar, the Lord's Supper, right, we are joyfully taking and eating the forgiveness which Christ won for us on the cross, right? That's why we hear Christ say to us that we are to take and eat and take and drink, for these are given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the words here, Luther says, for you require all of our hearts to believe. All the hearts to believe, right? And so therefore God's word and His sacraments are a source of His true kara, His true charis, His true joy and grace. And this joy and grace, Jesus says in John 16:22, no one will take from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord be with you. O Lord Jesus, accept these gifts to the service on the altar and the preaching of thy holy gospel. In your name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. just want to welcome all of you this morning. It's really a blessing to see all of you here, and I hope that you're being blessed as well. It's really great, and coming out on a kind of a rainy morning. just to note the blue news for this week, we do have elders and council in the evening on Tuesday, the 23rd, 6, of course, for elders, 7 for council. We will be having the early bird Bible study on Friday at 6 a.m. for those who desire that. And on Saturday, there will be a car wash by Ordo. Walt Bolton's leading that, one of our members. And it says 9 to 11, but it's actually going to go from 9 till about 3. So by the time we had to go to press, we hadn't heard back on the final ending. So we thought it was 11 for some reason. But that's no big problem. And then also next Sunday, there will be pictures. We're going to have pictures, trying to have a directory. So please, wear your go to meet and clothes if that's what you want to have a picture in. And so just let you know about that as well. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else coming up that you need to be aware of. I don't think there is. Is there, Doug? Everything's pretty clear. Okay, thank you. And then today we also have a couple prayer requests. Paige Ellis asked that we pray for Tom Stanley, her dad, who's having surgery on Tuesday. Doug Rayner also asked that we pray for John Steinbrecher. His wife, Ann, died this week. So we pray for John as he mourns the death of his wife. And I think, is your, John Ulrich, is your surgery this week? What's that? Of May? Okay, well, let us know later. Okay, I just want to make sure. Good. Would the Lord be with you? Let's pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and the godly unity of all Christendom. Let us pray to the Lord for this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord for Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ. For all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For our nation and all our people, for Joe, our president, the Congress of the United States, for Kay, our governor, and the legislature of Alabama, for our judges and magistrates and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray for Alice and Woody and Cloyce, for Elizabeth and Levi, for Deborah and Melissa, Joyce and Mary, for Mark and Eddie and Norma and Kim and Suzette, for George and Bonnie and George and Shirley, for Chris and Elmer, for Sugar and Janice, Taylor and Melissa, Gray and Bob, for Meredith and James and Larry Dean and Earl, for Suzette and Bob, Mallory and Mark, Hank and Jay, Tracy and Michelle, Carl and Karen, for Jimmy and Tina, Ainsley and Kevin, for Ron and Jesse, Theo and Easton, and Waylon and Ryan. We also pray for the families of our parish who mourn. We pray for the Tatum and Rogers family, the Faust, Callies, and Todd families, the Bolton, Grice, and Heil family, and all others who mourn. We pray also for those in service to our country's armed forces, especially Riley, Paul, Hayden, Paul, and Will. And we pray for all of our university students, including Minnie and Aiden, Jacob, and Kelsey and Mia. We pray also for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of a right, devout and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church, let us pray to the Lord, recalling those who have gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment, and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray especially this day for Tom Stanley, who will undergo surgery on Tuesday. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, look down, behold, visit, relieve thy servant Tom, for whom we offer up our supplications. We pray that you would look upon him with the eyes of thy mercy, and give unto him comfort and sure confidence in thee. We pray that this procedure, whatever it is, will be for his benefit, and that during and after it, you will defend him from the dangers of the enemy, that you will keep him in perpetual safety and peace, and that he will make a full recovery. We ask this through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we also pray for John Steinbrecher and all others who mourn the death of his wife, Anne. Lord God, Heavenly Father, have compassion upon John Steinbrecher and all others who mourn the death of his wife, Anne. We pray that you would be with them during their period of loneliness and desolateness, that you would be their comforter and friend during this time when they need it so much, that you would give unto them earthly solace as thou seekest to be best for them, and that you would bring them to a full knowledge of thy love, and that you would wipe away all their tears. We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.